dependence upon the Lord for all needed help. We venture to draw your prayerful attention to Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? God and a sinner on earth. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Husband and wife, brothers and sisters, friend and friend, can two walk together except they be agreed? In meditating upon this subject, my mind was moved very solemnly in this way, that we come to consider eternity. Who will you walk with forever and ever? You can't get away from it. Who will be your company? It'll either be with the dear people of God, lovers of Jesus, because he loved them first and died for them, or else with the ungodly and the fallen angels. Oh, beloved friend, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, first, how can it be that a holy God can walk according to his justice with a sinner here on this earth? We again are reminded of the four of the events that took place in the Garden of Eden, where we have the serpent, the devil, seducing, where we have Eve consenting, where we have Adam yielding, and where we have God executing, driven out of that garden, the way barred to the tree of life. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Consider for solemnly fallen and ruined state. My dear friends, it's total. The Word of God solemnly declares it. Dead in trespasses and sin, and that the carnal mind is enmity against God. That we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We will not have this man to reign over us. How can ever it be? How can that great I was going to say barrier, as we view it in our lost state, that the justice of God be brought whereby this holy God can walk with a sinner here on this earth. Blessed be God, there's a provision made. A provision made in eternity past. One whose name is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the gift of the Father, who came to this earth to seek and to save that which was to break down that barrier, to satisfy that divine justice, to meet the demands of the law, that in not one iota, one spot, is the justice of God belittled, I can't get a better word for the moment, lowered, that holy God, manifest at Sinai in all his glory, my dear friend, that God, that glory is unsullied in this, that he walks with sinners and they walk with him. How can it be? It is because one has stood between, one has paid the price, one has suffered in their room instead. One whose precious blood was shed on Calvary's cross. One whereby that justice of God is satisfied. The payment is made. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding, sure at his hand, and then again at mine. What a solemn separation sinners made. What a glorious reconciliation through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. So we see the way is open. We see the purpose of God in his grace and love and mercy to dear people, that there is one that has made this way, has paid the price, has satisfied divine justice. Oh, beloved friend, we bless God for it, do we not? And I pray that we may be led to consider this glorious salvation sealed by his resurrection, but springing from that, and this is the vital point, Christ did not suffer all this for nothing. There's a divine purpose, and that purpose will be fulfilled. That purpose will be fulfilled. Blessed be God. And that is that this people that are chosen in Christ, this people will be brought to love the Lord Jesus. But how can it be? Because my heart by nature doesn't seek the Lord Jesus. It's far away from God. But ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. That's it. Made nigh by the blood. The blood that speaks for me. The blood whereby I am accepted in the Beloved. Whereby the Holy God sees me in the dear Lord Jesus through him. Through what he has done. The blood shed on Calvary's cross. Sin forgiven and accepted, as I've just said, in the Beloved. Now, how is this done then? How is this made known? It is by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that takes the things of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that works in a poor sinner's heart. For ye were sometime darkness, but as the word of God says, but now are light in the Lord, but walk as children of light, that you'll find in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. ye were sometime, at all times, until God began, ye were darkness, and fit for darkness, fit for the pit, fit for hell, fit for the wrath of God. But oh, he, the great God, in the creation, that commanded and said, let there be light, and there was light, visits that soul, quickens that soul. This one who's so far off, so dead in trespasses and sin, is the object of the Spirit's work. And that work, certainly in the beginnings of it, and here the sovereignty of God in the degrees of it, but there will be a sensibility, as you've never known it before, of your sin, of your lost state, of your holy, of the holiness of God, and that you are deserving of hell, and at first you fear, I'm perishing. I'm lost. I'm far off. Oh, and what will become of me? But my friend, it's a great mercy to be brought there. Now, I know that's not comfort. I know that's not peace. I know that is a very trying experience. But don't despair, because the Holy Spirit, beginning that work, is going to lead you from your malady, from your sin, from your wretchedness, from your lost state, to Christ. And to the one who seeks and saves that which was lost. And so ye that were sometimes darkness are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. A child doesn't walk at birth, but after a little while, the appointed time, takes those first steps, needs help. In other words, walk as children of light. Walk as a little child. Walk, I say, my dear friend, with a desire that your hand might be put in the hand of God, that God will teach you, that God will lead you, that God will keep you, that God will help you, that God will bless you. So can two walk together except that here you see is the beginning of the drawing together. Here you see the beginning of the uniting. Here you see the beginning of that poor sinner now, instead of looking upon God as without any love or desire, now looks with reverence, humility of spirit, as a guilty sinner, and yet longing to know this God, knowing to know that blood that's washed away sin, their sin is washed away. So here they, as we think of being drawn closer to Christ, we may think of this way in which we may name it, we are led to Christ. This is the vital work of the Spirit. This is the evidence of the work of grace. Is a coming sinner to Christ, a coming just as they are, a coming in all their sin. They don't make any excuse for it. All they confess, say, Lord, by thy justice and by my sin, I deserve hell. I deserve the wrath of God forever and forever. But oh, Jesus, I say this reverently, I hear that thou dost save sinners. I'm the sinner, Lord, a poor sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. Oh, will it be for me? Can it touch my heart? Will thou receive me, so vile, so far off from thee? And yet you're drawn, you're attracted, you read the gospel, you see, whereas before you may have had a literal admiration for the gospel, but now it's vastly different. You may have said, well, how wonderful it was that Jesus did cleanse the leper, how wonderful it was that he did drive out the devils, but now you come quite differently. You say, I want that myself, I'm that leper. Oh, I'm that one by nature was blind, but oh, what a mercy to be able to say, there's one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see, though I only see myself as a sinner, though I see myself as a need of the Saviour, though I come to Jesus, though as yet I have no blessings, no confirmings, but I'm longing to know him. My friend, keep coming, keep praying, keep pressing your case. I tell you what, don't be dismayed if the devil gets at you. I say, it's coming to him. And you know how dear that hymn is to me, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. O friend, sacred coming. This is a drawing, you see. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know that your sin is standing and barring the way. But now you know there's a blood that washes away sin. I want to know that blood has washed my sin. I want to know the barrier is broken. I want to speak to God as my Father and my God, but you won't venture without the sweet assurance and evidence of it in your heart by the Holy Spirit. My dear friend, pray on, pray on. So it is coming to him. And this is the next step, is to walk before him. And this is where you see a separation. Walk in the newness of life. I bring the blind by a way that they know not. I lead them in paths that they have not known. And this is the way that God works. You will find that in the early part of your experience, things are fresh, they're new. Of course they are. And you walk now, whereas you wouldn't scruple about some things, but now you can see S-I-N. You can see you can't cheat. You can't speak what they term a white lie. I don't use that expression at all. It's a lie. You start to find that it's searching you. And it's not now that you can sin and say, oh, well, it can't be helped. I can't help it. You say, I've done it. I've done it before God. You see it against a holy God. And you pray, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. And this walking, as we so often name it to you, walking in the fear of God, is in love. It is not the abject dread of God. There is that reverence. The fear of God ever leads to reverence. But it's not like a slave. I shall have to do it or else I shall get the whip. No. I long to. I want to do it. Oh, my wretched sinful self. It trouble. And does it start to trouble you? Do you examine your life and say, oh, how I fail. My besetting sin. I keep trying and pray that the Lord will help you. But you see, it's walking before God. And it's walking in separation. That there before, you could do this and you could do that and feel what you thought, happiness in it. But it's that's gone now. Now, real religion isn't a miserable religion. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. And there's an abundance there without having to go into paths of sin. And to be prayerful even there. Lest we can make a lawful enjoyment of God. If I put it this way, a person could be so passionately fond of their garden that they could put that first or something else. There's nothing wrong to be, and it's right if you like gardening, to have it nice, but never, my friend, to let it stand in the way of worship or going to the chapel, for example. And another thing, you will pray that you don't want to bring it with you to the chapel, do you? You may say, whatever do you mean? I mean this, You can sit in the chapel and you'd be fond of something, and instead of listening, instead of thinking of what God is speaking, you're so taken up with what you love, and you can't get it out of your mind. Mind you, I know against that, or not to say against, a separate from that, a different matter, where sometimes the poor mind is so troubled about something and you can't get away from it. I know that's a different matter, but I'm saying love. But you see, it's walking before God. I walk before that God. Though that God is my God, I hope I can say that, you may say. I believe he is. I long for it. I believe he will be made known to me. But I do want to do what is right in his sight. Oh, but I find I've got more sin in me than I ever thought before. That's true, you know. Don't be despondent about that, because that would drive you back to Christ. It'd drive you back to the blood, won't it? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Coming to him and walking before him, but after him. What does that mean? Yes, taking up a cross. Going unto him without the camp. Bearing his reproach. You say, I can't do that. I'm a coward. My friend, the God is of God of all grace. Pray for it. Pray for that help. Now, which is best? To walk in your own path of choosing with worldly pleasure, or to walk into some perhaps lonely path and yet to have the presence of Christ with you? And to have a conscience clear before God in what you're doing. I wonder if I can find a verse. I found it in my meditation, just in my vestry before the service. I'll try and find it as I'm speaking to you. It was a word of the Apostle Paul, but I don't know whether I can find it, but he was living, trying to live with a conscience void, that's it, a conscience void of offence against God and man. Tremendous standard, isn't it? Don't belittle your conscience. May it be sensitive. May it speak with a loud voice. So I say to walk with him, but walk with him in communion. Oh no, I've taken a step further. Just we were talking about after him first. As a sheep follows a shepherd, follow in the footsteps of the flock, but walk with him. This is the sacred experience of all. Oh, the hymn writer breaks forth, oh, for a closer walk with God. You see the difference? Go back to what I said right at the beginning. There you were, lost and ruined. There was the sword of divine justice barring the way to the tree of life. There you were, lost in your sin. There you were, far off from God. But now, oh, walking with God. Then, my friend, this is a sacred offense. Little is known of it. I pray for it. Communion with God. Like the dear Lord Jesus spent nights in communion with his Father. Lord, bring me closer, closer still to thee. Oh, do humble this sinful self of mine. Break down the barriers. Reign in my heart. Oh, may I walk with thee, because one day, when time shall be no more, I shall pray, and I believe by grace, I shall be in heaven, and to walk with him in white. Can you think of it? A filthy sinner with the holy God in white, in garments of white. What are these which are before the throne, clothed in this robe of white? My friend, they present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And this walking together sometimes. I've had just a little, I want more. And though it's been more often the path of affliction. That way you may say, I can't go it. That way you find it struggle to bow before God, to be submissive to his will. And yet there, in that lonely path, in that physical affliction, in that sore temptation, in that bitter disappointment, in that lonely bereavement, you proved Jesus is there. Jesus is with me. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And what a mercy to come to death and to feel yes. Won't be only a few more steps to be with Christ, which is far better. But I must hasten just for a brief words on the other aspects of our subject tonight when I speak of first husband and wife. Until death do us part. It was named in a recent friendly companion of a dear minister that was unable to take a wedding. And he wrote, and I use the words from memory, he said, to these two that were being married, that live as though you may stand one day, one of you may be taken before the other, and live as though as you stand at that grave, would you have any regret? Now, nobody's perfect. We bear and to forbear, but to pray for grace, that that bond may be kept and love, and the strength of it, the spiritual bond. And we read in the Word of God in Luke chapter 1, though 2, and let me get it quite right, and it's such an example and how one feels to fail. And that was Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, that doesn't mean to say sinless, but it means that they served God. They put God first, husband and wife. That love, binding together, bearing one another, valuing one another, working together is very, very precious. But when it's sealed with prayer, the Word of God, this is such a strength to maintaining that bond of love and union. My friend, may grace be given to us. I haven't time to enlarge. You must go through the Word of God and think of those that Manoah and his wife, for example, and how poor Manoah was weak in faith and his wife was stronger in faith. And sometimes it's the other way round, isn't it? But it help meets, working together, bearing together. Then what about brothers and sisters? You know, I was very fond and have been all my life of my dear sister. But even when we were young, you know, the occasion we did just have an argument. Oh, but we weren't happy, you know. We said, we soon made it up. Now, it's a joy and peace when we walk together. Oh, may we, and then brothers and sisters in the church. And when I say in the church, I do not confine that to baptized believers, those who fear God. You love your brethren and sisters. You do all you can to maintain that love and to walk in truth and in love of one with the other. Oh, I think of Joseph. How dreadful it was, those brothers. How they envied him, hated him. Well, you know all the story of it. What can rise in a person's heart? Jealousy. My friend, this, you see, though we're a new creature in Christ and walk in newness of life, we've got the seed of all evil here. And we need that to be kept. We need to be preserved. Need to pray, Lord, do keep me from doing any damage, from hurting any. Now, let us be also clear. This does not cause a withholding of the word of correction, the word of discipline. Administered in love and kindness, my friend, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and I thank God for them. Don't rise up in anger. Don't say, oh, I'm hurt. Don't let pride creep in and say, oh, I must bow under that. And ever pray that no difference may come between you. You remember, you see, even Paul and Barnabas looked at that dreadful contention that they had to part company, didn't they? You see, even men like that, it tells us, it warns us, if they fell, what about us? What grace we need to be kept. So here we have husband and wife, and here we have brother and sister, and friend also. I beseech you, Odias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be the same mind in the Lord. One little, as it were, blot, as it were, on that Philippian church. Get together, pray together. May the breach be healed. May that love be so in possession in the heart that your hearts may be knit together in love. And bearing one another's burden, being patient one with the other. And praying, Lord, set a watch upon my tongue. Oh, I do pray for that. I fail so often, speak so sharply at times. Oh, it worries me. Oh, I don't say, well, I can't help it. I can, ought to. Sometimes I've spoken sharply, and I feel, oh, Lord, do forgive me. My friend, these things are real. We try and excuse ourselves. May God keep us from it. Rather, may we be helped to confess before God our sin, and if need be, one to the other. Pray one for the other also. And I think of just one case of Peter and John. You know, John didn't say to Peter, no, look, you betrayed the Lord Jesus. I wouldn't like anything more to do with you. No. We see them walking together. We see them running together to the sepulchre. We see them later, and they went up at the time of prayer, walking together to the temple, didn't they? Tear together, knit together in love. Oh, friend, this bond of spiritual love is so precious, and the devil's going to do everything he can to smash it, to put the root of bitterness into a church, into a family, to be brothers and sisters, and we're so foolish, we're so sinful, we're so sensitive, that we can be easily worked upon, and we need to pray, Lord, do keep me, Lord, preserve me. But I love that word, your heart knit together, in love. You can't, dear old George Rose say, you've got woolen garment, you can't tear it up very easily. And my friend, may there be that knitting together in love and in fellowship, one with the other, to bear one another's burdens, to walk together in love. So we come to this word, don't we, together. Together. I said right at the beginning, where shall we spend that eternity? We should be together. Who with? There's no halfway. The Lord and the angels of heaven and the dear people of God, or banished from his presence. An eternity in the company of those in hell, blaspheming. There's a great gulf. I'm speaking very faithfully, but very lovingly, very tenderly, beloved. Oh, think of this. Now I close, and I turn to the epistle, the first epistle to the Thessalonians, and I close with this, and I've named it before, but it's been so often precious to my soul, this word together. And in chapter 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep. Now that word sleep means whether we're alive when Jesus comes. Whether we wake or sleep. Where sleep is to die, and wake is to be alive when the Lord Jesus, I'm sorry I put them around the wrong way, get that quite right. Wake is being alive when the Lord comes, because there will be some of his dear children when he comes, but sleep those that are sleeping in the grave. And then we read this, that we should live, what does it say? Together with him. That with him in glory. forever and ever, to be freed forever from all that sin and defilement and temptation and pain, but to come, and oh, as you've been singing that beautiful hymn of praise, my friend, how that there'll be the full flowing of it forever and ever in heaven. But there's one other word in the chapter 4 on the second coming of the Lord, when we read that the then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and it says, together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's the one church, that's the bride, that's all the redeemed from Adam's day right to the end of time, with the Lord, together with him, together with them. I close, and summing it up, as you've sung that beautiful hymn, oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. Can two walk together except they be agreed?